Hey, everybody, and welcome to the American Citizens Podcast. My name is Gray. I'm here with Josh. Josh, welcome back to the pod, as ever.
Thank you very much.
And we are discussing another City victory, a 2-0 victory at Bournemouth, as City continue to perform rather impressively away from home, with the exception of the occasional blip. We will talk about that, but two goals today, a tap-in from Raheem Sterling, and what will go down in the record books is an own goal from Tyrone Mings and not a Sergio Aguero touch.
Same difference. I don't know. There's still a chance that City could challenge it.
I
think maybe the club might, you know? Yeah, just there's a lot going on behind the woodworks right now. Wouldn't, if you were Sergio Aguero, wouldn't some goodwill like the club charging for forward and making the claim that it was your goal and challenging what the panel review said, like, wouldn't that make you feel better?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what the protocol is for challenging and re-challenging and all this.
I think they just have to basically say, hey, we're challenging that it was an own goal ruling, and we believe that it would have gone, it should be a Sergio Aguero goal. And they can basically make the case that the ball hitting off of Mings was immaterial, as the ball would have gone in either way. And if that's the case, then it should be awarded as a goal to Aguero and not an own goal.
Correct. Well, we will figure that out.
I don't even know what the hell is a catch in the NFL for our viewers who watch both. So what constitutes a goal in the Premier League may be a trickier subject. So, you know, we'll just kind of sit back and see what happens. But to me, we can do our own verdicts. What do you feel it was?
I'm biased, but I would have given it to him.
Yeah, see, I'm not trying to be biased here. I legit, you know, I pride myself in being a physics guy.
The color commentator also was surprised that they didn't give it to him.
Yeah, well, he seemed to be surprised that he read out an email on air, so...
That's true.
But I pride myself on being a math guy. I, for whatever reason, in high school, I got all the way through Calc 2 and then never did anything with math after that. Like, the last math I took was the obligatory statistics class that everybody in college hates. But I pride myself on being a math guy, and the physics of that looked to me like it should have been an Aguero goal. So... You know, I mean, I guess it's not going to really matter. A Manchester City podcast says Aguero should have had goal. Surprise, you know. But I feel like we've gone against the club on some. Well, hell, we were the first American people to actually. We were the first Americans to ever go on the Blue Moon podcast. We were the first people ever to pick against City, so. That comes with it some clout.
So let's talk about the grand scheme of things before we get into the game. And I'm going to ask a question that I'm not super keen on asking, but I feel like I would be doing a poor job as the host of this podcast if I didn't ask it.
We're going to ask the Fernandinho question right now, aren't we?
No, we're going to ask. Looking at the table.
Okay.
City are now 8 points back of Chelsea with 13 matches to go. Is the title race on or not?
No.
Okay. See, I'm in the middle. I don't think it's on, but I don't think it's off. In a world where Donald Trump can be elected president, I'm not going to sit here and say that City can't win the title.
That's a fair thing to say.
However, I don't
feel like Donald Trump was going up against Antonio Conte's defense and trying to get through that.
The point is, 8 points in 13 games is not insurmountable. Hell, City have done it before. But I don't think Chelsea will ultimately drop enough points.
It's the goal differential that has me saying.
That's another thing, because in 2012, City had the goal differential on their side, whereas that's not the case this time.
No, as a matter of fact, they're kind of they better hope it things don't come down to a goal differential, or that they go on a Bayern type holy crap we got this and just start ripping off 6-0 wins real soon, because if it comes down to goal differential on just about anything, I don't see a team. It'd have to go down to the two playing at 6th and 7th, like maybe Liverpool, you know? Now you're talking about your Europa League, and you don't really want to be hoping that they're down in that range anyway, so
They do face Liverpool again at home, so there is that on their side. Of course, Liverpool have had the January from hell, so that's pretty much allowed them to catch them both in points and almost in goal differential. So, yeah. I mean, it depends on the form of everyone around them. They're 4 goals back of Arsenal and 2 points ahead. They do play Arsenal again, albeit away. And we've talked about Arsenal being Arsenal. It's just sort of a case of, well, they might show up on any given day, but there's an equally good chance that they might not. So, I will say that the title race is not on but not off. And I know that's not really an answer, but it's just sort of a case where theoretically they're still in it, but realistically they have a long way to go. Just now that we've gotten that out of the way, I want to talk again before we get into the actual game, which we will get into. I'm not beating around the bush here. We're not ignoring that. I'm going to read out to you City's last, let's see here. City's last 1, 2, 3.
You know what's kind of funny? It just dawns on me that the postponed Manchester Derby is supposed to be a fixture here at some point.
Have they rescheduled that yet?
I don't know. No, it doesn't.
I think they had to move it because of the League Cup final.
Yeah.
I don't think they've rescheduled it yet. If they did, I missed it. And as I'm sitting here looking at the schedule, it's not rescheduled on it.
No, it's still postponed, but that sort of looms large in there. Because City already had the first one at home. Now you've got to go across the way to Old Trafford.
No, we won at Old Trafford.
Oh yeah, that's right. Never mind. They're at home. I've got mine mixed up.
Yeah, I'm just looking at their remaining away games here as I sit here at the schedule, because again, like we said, there's 13 games left. There will be Champions League and they're still in the FA Cup, but there's only 13 games left. They have to go to Sunderland, winnable. To Arsenal, difficult. To Chelsea, really difficult. To Southampton, probably winnable. To Middlesbrough, winnable. To Watford, winnable. So, obviously, they have 2 really tough road games in there, but the rest of them, they are kind of the caliber of team they've been beating.
I'm still putting winnable next to going at 2 Arsenal on
winnable,
the road.
But can I say winnable but difficult? I don't think that's impossible.
I actually think that for whatever reason, you know how they say like styles make the matchup.
Yes,
I think Guardiola versus Arsene Wenger. It's one of those matchups that favors Arsene Wenger, it favors Guardiola. I just think that City match up very well against Arsenal.
Yeah, I think that. It's like it says, Arsenal are so difficult to predict. You don't know what you're going to get from them on any given day. I mean, didn't they beat Chelsea this season? It's just
that may be the case, but you know what? Arsenal are not difficult to predict. They're a team that's difficult to predict in that, hey, mentally, you don't know what they're going to give you.
You know how they're going to play. You don't know if they're going to be injured mentally.
Guardiola only really needs to watch the last 2 games. The game plan for Arsenal's in there. It always is. It's pretty much always been what it's been. under Wenger. You know, it's direct football. They're going to come straight at you. They're going to do
it's a lot not of so new- much. It's not so much the game planning I'm worried about. It's that just Arsenal are just mentally weak. They are. and we know how that can be by watching City, who have at times had the same problem. So
I think that if Gabriel Jesus is firing and back in the lineup, which Pep didn't seem to be concerned too much, though he did say he would pray, and I don't know, but I guess that's standard protocol for managers. Hey, I'm going to pray it's okay. But he didn't seem too concerned about Jesus. If Jesus is fine and really he was taken off as a more precautionary measure because Guardiola's learned just enough in his career just to yank guys off, you know. Today is not – this is – you do not want your best weapon going – down against, you know, Bournemouth. No offense to Eddie Howe.
If they can get Aguero firing before then, too.
Yeah. Even better.
What difference does it make, but you know what I'm trying to say.
All the better.
Yes.
All the better that Aguero was in on a goal today. Only good can come from this that, you know, if Gabriel Jesus is, in fact, deemed to be okay.
Let me read to you City's last five results away from home, going back to the new year. They beat West Ham away 5-0. They lost at Everton 4-0. And since then, they beat Crystal Palace in the FA Cup 3-0. They beat West Ham in the league again 4-0. And they beat Bournemouth away 2-0. Is there a reason, do you think? I mean, that Everton result sticks out like a sore thumb. But other than that, their road form recently, and even dating back to that, they were really bad at Liverpool, but then before that they beat Hull 3-0 away from home. Ever since the Leicester game, basically. Is there a reason, perhaps, that City seem to be in... They play, honestly, with the exception of the Tottenham game, I would argue that they have been more convincing away from home than they have been at home in the last several weeks. And do you think there's a reason for that?
Gabriel Jesus?
Can't account for all of it, can it?
No. Well, I mean, it can count for most of it. I mean, let me start with a basic question.
He didn't play the first game at West Ham.
True. Okay, but it's West Ham and they're playing like crap and their manager ended up getting fired anyway. Alright, let me ask you a basic question. Since Gabriel Jesus has been injected into Manchester City, do they not look like a completely different and dangerous team to the point where if you were to restart the league campaign and have this version of City, the version of City that Pep will have moving forward, would you feel more comfortable with their chances going up against Chelsea, knowing that Chelsea were still – you still couldn't afford to probably drop more than one or two?
They look better, but I'm not going to attribute it to that because I think it goes back to the Leicester game in which Guardiola basically hit the reset button on everything and said, okay, we're going back to square one.
Yeah, because, he admitted that today.
With Gabriel Jesus in the lineup at Swansea, it was kind of another one of those, okay, they started really well, they didn't score enough, and then they sort of slept through the second half and got pegged back. The only difference was they scored at the end. So it was kind of the home performance that we have seen like 5-6 times this season. But I think it goes back to the Leicester performance and going back to basics, especially on the road, where you cannot get away with as much. I mean, I think Gabriel Jesus has been a factor, but I think that there were things going on before he got here that were...
Well, sure. I mean, looking at dispelling one of the fullbacks in favor of playing Fernandinho at either left back or right back...
Yeah, that's telling, isn't it?
Yeah, somebody had to go. And let's be like fair. Let's just go ahead and get to the question that we did get, which was probably rhetorical, more fun, but in all honesty, there may be a bit of truth to it. It was, who is it from? Do you have the tweeters in
It
front
was
of you?
I'll read it out to
Daniel
you.
Solar Solarzano. Oh wait, nope. Excuse me. Sweeper keeper Dino confirmed.
Yeah, that was we got a couple questions on Ferndino there.
Rob,
it's from Rob Free
Eight.
And we got one from Top Dog at Floodhaven Sensei as well. Kind of both in the same vein. Rob asked us, is there a position that Fernandinho can't play?
To my knowledge, at this moment, Pep Guardiola would probably try him out at striker. Like, at this point, Fernandinho has basically become his Philipp Lahm. Like, you will never find, like, there's just, you know, Philipp Lahm, you know, even in the first book, like, he's just, what Guardiola is like, that's a fucking footballer. That's, you know, I mean, there's really no other way to say it. You know, I hate using that kind of language on this podcast, but it's good enough for Guardiola. It's good enough for me. That is what Fernandinho has become to Pep Guardiola. And it's insane that as old as Fernandinho is, he makes it look effortless, playing 90 minutes and plus sometimes. And I mean, Fernandinho is a guy that could probably give you two full games. Like, he looks no worse for wear after 90. I legitimately do think he could give you, if you had to go into, you know, two extra, you know, if you got late into, like, say, the semifinals where somebody has to win and it goes down to penalties or something, that's a guy who could give you the extra plus kick the penalty. Like, I legitimately believe that. So it's great that Guardiola's found out that I've always kind of really enjoyed Dino's game. Like, me and my roommate have been calling him the Dino for some time now. Probably like 3+ years. But we just loved him because it seemed like on FIFA he could always do everything for us. Like, no matter where we put him, it's just like, damn it, Dino scored again. He just, and you know, sometimes art imitates life. Like, this guy can legit just seem to play at any position and provide going forward. Like, he was tormenting people as a left back.
I mean, what did you think of his performance? Because Top Dog at Bloodhaven Sensei asked us thoughts on him as a makeshift left back. He's looked good, but opposition hasn't been that great.
Yes,
I liked him better. I liked him better at right back, to be honest. I didn't think he was bad or anything like that, but I thought it was a little more natural for him.
I honestly thought that no matter where you play him, he's so good at defensively, he's sound. Like, he tends to put himself in all the right positions, even when he has to interchange with center backs. He's done that before, so he instinctively knows how to play center half as well. As well as, he's an actual center defensive midfielder, so, you know, he's got that thing down. Like, he's sort of a guy that knows how to instigate everything from every position, which I believe really honestly does help City going forward. You may be right in that he tends to have, like, Raheem Sterling has just been blistering these past couple of games, and maybe if that's because he's had, you know, Fernandinho providing cover and allowing him to get forward more and do the things that he does, and the fact that Fernandinho can play a ball in or two, like, I mean, he knows how to weigh the pass. I don't know. I honestly think you could play him at either. I mean, I think preference is fine here, but I think you could play him at either. It's not like Sané was, like, he was basically the player of the game today.
Yeah, he was.
Man of the match. I really shouldn't have said player. Hell, I said that.
We're American. It's fine.
We're American, yeah.
It's fine. So, yeah. Well, I'll move this around a little bit because we brought him up. I thought Sterling and Sané were fantastic today. There seems to be an understanding striking up. The pace and the width. Bournemouth's back line was stretched to the breaking point today, and it's pace and width that City have always kind of tried to chase after. Under Mancini, they didn't really have it. You look at guys like Sam Nasri and Silva as an attacking forward, a wider player, or what have you, guys like that. They are definitely talented players, but the guys that were relied on in the Mancini and even the Pellegrini era, despite the attempts to make Navas a thing, they weren't there for their
pace. He definitely had the pace.
He just didn't have anything else. But they never had the pace to pull this, to play like this, because it was always more creatively minded guys who weren't going to blister you like that. Sané and Sterling can do both. Obviously, their games are a work in progress. They're both really young. But they have pace that Silva and Nasri and the likes of those players never had. And I think that pairing them together, along with the directness of Gabriel Jesus, has been a big part of the recent renaissance. Just sort of, you know, okay, forget about Nolito, forget about, you know, all this experience, all these that mythical veteran presence that we have on our side. Let's just play these guys. Let's let them loose and let's let them have fun. And I think that they're bearing the fruits of
that. There's something to that. There's something to that. You look at what, and Guardiola has, I think, a lot of respect for Mauricio Pochettino. And you look at what Poch is doing down there at Tottenham. It's letting youth be youth. And you look at what he's getting out of Dele Alli. Like, sure, Dele Alli's had some dumbass mistakes along the way. And you look at some of the fouls that Sané has given away. And you're like, man, you dumbass. You just want us to, even today with this yellow, like, what the hell are you doing, dude? Like, why? Though, even though I will hear an argument out that says Sané, like, it really was, it could have been accidental. Like, the fact that he didn't jump up and protest the yellow says to me he knew exactly what he was doing. And these are the dumbass mistakes that you're going to get along the way with the youth that Guardiola is going to have to beat out of them in the little pep talks afterward. But you know what? What you get out of them going forward is so deadly and so dangerous, it just makes it near impossible for teams to match up with that. They don't yet make fullbacks, like, I'm sure it's now going to become a thing. Like, you know how 6'1" corners became a thing in the NFL to shut down receivers?
Yeah.
Okay. I am sure that pacier fullbacks are going to become the thing. Like, you're going to have guys who are basically like wingbacks and have
already
that.
Got, yeah, I think the prototype is already there when you watch Hector Bellerin play.
Yeah.
That's the future of the fullback position.
Yeah, you look at him or Laporte, you know, these guys can do it, can do absolutely everything. They're fast as all hell. But yeah, I think too, I think that they're going to become more of a thing as an answer to what guys like Sterling and Sané can provide going forward. And now, it's not enough that you have those two causing havoc on the edges. The only reason that those two can do that is because City's midfield is so dangerous that you have to pick your poison. And it almost always leads to Sterling and Sané and or Sané getting a one-on-one with either a center half or a back, and that's because De Bruyne and Sterling and even Toure, who's dropped into like a deep-lying playmaker, they're just so damn dangerous going forward. Like they were talking about in today's post-match on NBC, they were saying that De Bruyne, I think it was Robbie Musto, was pointing out that De Bruyne and Silva have really found their groove in their new positions. And we kind of talked, you brought that up on the last podcast, and I think that's, I'm bringing that up again because I think it's so critical to what we're talking about with Sané and Sterling. They're the reason that can happen, that all of this can happen.
Yeah, it's an instance where I think that, like, And we talked at length about guys like Lino playing well. They did play well early in the season. But it's a different dynamic. It's a completely different dynamic. And it doesn't offer the same things that these two offer. And there's an energy there. There are going to be mistakes. We know that. We accept that. But you got Sterling with a goal and an assist today, basically. I don't know that that will go down as a formal assist because it was an own goal. I'm not really sure. But it was his pass that set up the ball going into the net. But it's so important to have that pace. And I think it's something that they've craved for years now. But for whatever reason, they, you know, you have guys, you know, I think the thing that you get sometimes when you put too much emphasis on pace is you get guys like Yannick Bolasie, who is all pace but nothing else, or Jesus Navas.
Hey, man, pace, the one thing Bolasie gave us was the Bolasie, and that was a cool FIFA trick.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to slag him off. It's just, you know, if Yannick Bolasie doesn't have the pace he has, he's playing the championship. But, you know, it's that, you know, pace for the sake of pace.
Right.
I think there's the temptation, and I think it's basically what they kind of got with Navas. But these two, there are moments where they pick the wrong pass. There are moments where they try to do a little too much. We can accept that because it's not just pace for the sake of pace. It is pace for the pace and dynamism and energy and an end product that is still a work in progress, to be sure. I mean, you watch Sterling. If he could have been better on his first touch, he would have scored first before he ended up scoring today. But you look at the way they play and look at the way they run. That is the future, not just of Man City, but of, you know, that's what football's evolving towards. And City look to be very much on the cutting edge of that, I think, right now.
Yeah, I would say that's a very fair assessment. I wouldn't disagree with it in the slightest, and I think your point is well made. I think that Guardiola is getting a bit of all that he wants right now, and it'll be curious to see where he shells out the money next, because you know he's going to go on another big spending spree. You have to invest something.
I think I have a guess.
Yeah.
A couple, actually.
I also have that guess, but you know that's not going to be all that he buys.
No.
You know, like, we know that money is going to be spent there, mm-hmm. but we also know that that's not going to be everything that he buys.
Yeah.
And so, there's going to be a new goalkeeper, there's going to be a new left back, there's going to be a new right back. I imagine there will be a new center back.
I would be surprised if he doesn't buy a striker, given the way things seem to be going. I mean, it depends on where.
Yeah, but don't you have some?
Yes, you do. But I think there will be another. I'll amend that to say I think there will be another forward coming in. Because I don't think Navas is long for this team.
Oh yeah, I think that's true.
I think they'll bring in another forward, and I think they'll bring in another midfielder, to be honest, because I don't know that Fernandinho and Fabian Delph are long for this team either. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's more to come at basically every position. But yeah, you're very right, and the building blocks are there already. So it's a lot of fun to watch when they're playing like that. Well, let's pivot because, Daniel Solorzano asked this and I was going to ask it anyway. So
are we going to the Aguero?
Sergio Aguero got 75 minutes today.
75 completely unplanned minutes.
Completely unplanned minutes. Yeah. He didn't quite score, as we mentioned. There was a touch. It could have been. It's just sort of a point of dispute whether you thought it was an own goal or not, but he did basically get on the end of one. You know, I saw some people like during the game being like, oh, this is a big moment for him. It's make or break. And I thought that was a little excessive. I don't think 75 minutes at Bournemouth. I think it's going to be a complete picture that will be painted of Sergio Aguero that will be assessed at the end of the season. So I don't think that this was do or die for him. But how do you think he got on in that 75 minutes playing at the head of this Sané, Sterling, Silva, De Bruyne spear thing going on?
I thought Aguero acquitted himself fairly well today. I it's hard for me to say because maybe City didn't rack up the totals that you think would come. And to be fair, there were a couple of chances that really a striker of Aguero's quality should be putting in, whether he's offside or not, not hoofing it 50 yards open the net. You know, people love to use the label world class with Aguero. So I guess it depends on what you classify him as. If you think he's world class, then he's not living up to that this year. And I completely see why Guardiola is frustrated with him. If you just consider him to be a good striker, then your explanation is that more often than not, he doesn't create chances in Guardiola's system the way chances need to be created. He doesn't move back and forth enough. He tends to drift to the same spots more often than not. And you need to be a bit more active, get back a bit more with Guardiola, and you just see a difference when Jesus is on the pitch, right? You just see the difference. It should be visual. There's a reason for that, and it's a lot of the work that Jesus is doing off the ball, and the fact that he can drift right or left and create from there dangerously. That makes teams have to play him as a threat no matter where he's at on the pitch. Whereas Aguero, he's not really showing the same kind of nifty tricks that he's shown in the past. You know, he's kind of playing as a straight-up, I don't know, just sort of seems, kind of seems like he's playing like a straight-up striker. And he needs to add more of that midfield presence to his game. And until he gets that down, I don't think Guardiola's going to care what he's done in the past for City or the fact that he signed a hefty new contract. I think he's going to get City wages is what he's going to end up getting them. I just don't think he moves enough off the ball. So he did well today, but let me put it this way. I saw nothing that's going to challenge Gabriel Jesus for his top spot. Like, he's going to be playing as the first striker going forward, regardless of what level of competition.
Yeah, I'm in agreement there. He didn't play badly. I thought he was fine. It wasn't a performance that's going to set the world on fire. Is basically what it is. And
that's even if you count the goal.
Yeah, I mean, he got on the end. He was in the right place at the right time. He got on the end of one. That's good. I mean, I think it will help his confidence because that had to be low coming into this. And I thought he played, you know, well enough that I think maybe he would have taken a little bit of heart from that. But you know, it wasn't a performance that's going to set the world on fire. It wasn't a performance that was going to make us sit there and be like, wow. And I think the hard part for Aguero is that adaptation, that off the ball stuff, as well as the fact that we are going to inevitably comparing him to when we saw him at his best, when he was scoring hat trick after hat trick after hat trick. I mean,
but there's always been an argument against Sergio Aguero that he's been a flat track bully.
Right, but I don't think that's fair. I mean, he scored regularly against Man United. He scored, but it's kind of a more recent thing, I would say. because he would torment, you know, Spurs all the time. He would score against Arsenal. He would score against Chelsea. The top sides weren't really a problem for him. It's just sort of this year he's kind of feasted on lower level. Until last year, to an extent, it started to develop.
I think last year is really when the problem began.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it didn't used to be a problem. I'm thinking more along the lines of like 13, 14 when he was just...
Like, Aguero offered him just jack crap going forward in the Champions League last year. If Aguero was even at 8/10 of what he was the year before, City might well could have won the whole damn thing, apparently. If what befell Atletico Madrid is what it takes, I think City could have bumbled their way into a goal against Atletico Madrid with Aguero playing the way he did the year before. But he just was not there, and it hurt the team. And I think that it's really reared its head this year, which is why it seems to the world that Gabriel Jesus displacing Sergio Aguero should be bigger news, you would think. Like, if stuff like Sterling and whatever he does makes, our city, you know, is there public unrest or whatever the case may be? And I'm sure one or two asshats have written those articles. I've not clicked on them. I'm sure they've been written. But you would think it would be bigger news that Jesus has displaced him as easily as he has. But the reason that it's not is because everyone with two eyes can see that it needed to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it isn't working right now. I mean,
no.
And that's fine. It's, but yeah, I don't know what else to say about that. It's just it makes sense. I didn't really see anything, you know. I didn't see anything that would make me want to run him out of town. But I didn't see anything that would, you know, make me sit up and take notice and be like, ah, he's back. So you know, it's fine. It's good. It's fine. But I don't really have anything to say beyond that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I do want to bring one more thing up, and that is the fact that I think it goes with the Fernandinho as a fullback thing, which is the fact that Nicolas Otamendi started on the bench tonight, which is... I guess it's sort of a thing where I think of it as sort of an admission that he just wants to get ball players in back there. He had Sanya, he had Kolarov, he had Stones, and he had Fernandinho as his back four. And I think it's a little bit of a tweak because he just doesn't trust Otamendi to not do stupid things. Do you think I'm onto something there?
You're not going to get me to argue against the fact that a manager would find Otamendi to be one of the most frustrating center halves to coach in the history of coaching. I mean, beyond that, I can't assume to know what Guardiola thinks or to think what he knows, but I can easily draw the very same conclusion that you have drawn. And, like, yeah, I don't trust Otamendi. I wouldn't trust him to deliver my pizza.
Yeah, I wonder if that's just sort of a sign of things to come. Because we mused a bit about, like, the whole notion of how are we going to get Fernandinho in there. Because we saw, well, you can't drop Jesus, you can't drop, you know, this and that and this and that. And you can't drop Torre right now, and you can't take Silva or De Bruyne. So I think this might be the solution to that. And Otamendi makes sense as the guy who's going to be the fall guy for that, because he fits in least... He fits in as poorly as as anyone else does in the team right now. So I guess my thinking is Guardiola is sort of to the point where he's just going to put in guys who can play the way he wants to play. And I'm fine with that personally, and I can't help but wonder, because at no point tonight was I like, yes, City had their moments of vulnerability defensively, that happens, but at no point tonight was I like, man, they need someone commanding back there, or man, they're, you know, they felt more or less in control most of that game. So I do think that it's just sort of, yeah, you can survive without a classic defender back there, because the only center back they were playing tonight was John Stones. So, I mean, I don't know what else to add on to that, but, yeah. I do want to add one more thing before we talk a little bit about...
What was the starting back for tonight?
It was Fernandinho, it was Sanya, Kolarov, and Stones.
That's right.
So, yeah, I don't buy it. I don't see Otamendi as having... As being missed here today. I do want to say one thing, because
It's curious to me how John Stones had fallen out of favor in the first place. Like,
I think that was a mental break as much as anything else.
And that may be fine, but it was quite a mental break. And not, hey, dude, you know me of all people is not going to begrudge anybody a lengthy mental break. But the question then comes up, if John Stones is at that point in his career where he needs one of that length, then, you know, do you need to spell him out, or is he going to be good to go moving forward? And I know Guardiola came up to him after the match and he hugged him and said, I'm sure, a lot to him.
Yeah. I just wanted to make the point about the back four, because I was just like, I do not miss Otamendi at all watching this. Other thing I wanted to say was, we spend so much time sitting here critiquing referees and being like, you know, mess that up, and why are the Premier League referees so bad? So when Niels Horbrick makes a decision like he made tonight to do really good refereeing to see a foul and chalk off the Bournemouth goal, I think it's only fair that we point it out and say, really well done, because not all referees would have spotted that. And the linesman didn't even spot it. So just a word for Niels Horbrick, because we spend so much time ripping on referees, and I wanted to make clear that... That was a really good decision, and it was a correct decision, and I applaud him for getting that right when his linesman didn't even help him out. No one seemed to really help him out. He just spotted it, flagged it, got it right. So I say good on him, and a word of applause for a good refereeing performance and a good refereeing decision in a season that has been filled with bad ones. And that was really all I wanted to say about that. Kudos to Niels Horbrick. So City's next game at the weekend, there's no Premier League next weekend because the FA Cup continues, and City have an away trip to Huddersfield in what is, I believe, the fifth round of the FA Cup. Yes, okay. They are two wins away from Wembley, if they not to get ahead of ourselves, but on paper, it kind of reminds me of a game like today. Huddersfield, obviously a championship side, currently sitting, well, they just beat QPR, so that's good for them. Let's see where they sit in the table. They currently sit third in the table in the championship on 58 points, leading the playoff spots, but trailing for automatic promotion. I don't expect you to know any more about Huddersfield than I do, but just judging by the standard, judging by everything, judging by the fact that they will not have Aaron Moy, who has, by all accounts, been one of their best players, I like to think City can come through this game pretty well, don't you?
Yeah. I would like to think so. I mean,
it's fancy when your best player can't play against your team because he happens to be owned by the parent club, but we'll see. I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because this has all the trappings of a match where you talk a woof of stuff beforehand and then you're the team that goes out in the upset. Like, how did Huddersfield pull this off? But, I mean, if City put anything close to a professional performance in, they should win the match straight away.
I am in full agreement there. And, you know, like I said, we don't really know much about Huddersfield, but so it goes. The Jamie Redknapp headline, former Liverpool ace Jordan Ibe better than Man City's Raheem Sterling, just popped up on the timeline from last July.
Yes.
It's some people should just not hot take. It's not smart. Anyway, do you have anything else that you wanted to add to this? I thought it was a really professional performance tonight, and I was really pleased with what I saw.
Yeah, I was equally pleased. It was one of those performances where you can just watch with comfort because you know, like, it's like the goal was going to come. You know, and the counter may have came, but it was pretty damn clear that that was a foul in the build-up. And like you said, had a lesser referee not been paying attention, I mean, that's 1-1 and City are screaming. And this is a match where they could have dropped points because, well, you mentioned Arsenal being weak. City are also weak. Though I would say this version of City have far more confidence than previous iterations. But, yeah, I mean, if for some reason that goes in the net and it's allowed, I can see City getting up in their own head and just not scoring. Again.
Yeah. But, yeah, I also saw something about the Premier League being fearful of losing Mark Clattenburg to the USA or China. How much would you cry if Mark Clattenburg took the big money elsewhere?
I would throw a party. I mean, you're invited. I wouldn't shed a tear. Not a single one.
Good stuff. The Mark Clattenburg is over party. but yeah, I don't really have anything else to add here. It's just, it's nice to talk about a series of professional performances. Good wind, clean sheets. Willie Caballero continues to look a lot more convincing at the back than his counterpart ever had. And at this point, I don't see how he loses that job anytime soon. So, that's...
I agree. He's probably cemented himself as the number one keeper at this point. Bravo's lost the job.
I feel for him, but as long as Caballero gives him no reason to drop him, then there's just no reason to think it. So
no, Caballero's actually played spectacularly. Yeah,
he's not just like good enough. He's like he's actually playing well. He had to make a good save today. I know there was.
That's the thing that goes in against Bravo, where you're like that shot right there is a goal against Bravo. Those are the saves that he wasn't making. And Cabby just kind of, you know, he can make those. And I also like to say, like, you watch Caballero when they asked him, like, how does it feel to be playing? And like, the dude's just genuinely so damn excited. Like, just so beyond excited to be playing first team football that you can see the effect of Guardiola's confidence in him. And that's never a bad thing with a player. So
I genuinely think you'll get the best of Caballero going forward. He does not want to give this up.
Yeah.
He knows he's going to be replaced next year. Like, he knows he's not for long between the posts of Manchester City.
Yeah, he's playing for a contract somewhere, probably.
Yeah, but you know what, though? He's also thinking, I could be good enough to be the number two on a really damn good team. I may not play a lot, but I could be good enough that Guardiola would trust me with cup competitions where he'd break it up. Right now, Guardiola doesn't have a goalkeeper situation to where he can break it up so one keeper's not playing the full gamut. But if Guardiola were, say, to go out and sign his primary, then you know, Willie would be saying, "Hey, man, I can easily play number two here in all these cup competitions and whatnot. If you're willing to give me the gig, there's still a decent number of games in there and a lot of glory and probably more attainable trophies to be had too."
Yep. Did you see Geronimo really pissed off all his teammates? He told the media that he would walk go to Man City tomorrow if he could.
I did not see that.
He did. I saw the quote. They basically asked him, and he said, "Yes, my dream is to end up playing for Man City. I would go there tomorrow if I could." And apparently that rubbed some of his teammates the wrong way. So that's fun. It's nice to... It seems to be, at least on his end, he signed to eventually play for Man City. So I guess we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be interesting, you know, because he certainly played well enough.
Yep.
He's done his part.
Made an impression. Yep.
I mean, what happens from here is ultimately up to City, because haven't they been linked with a couple other keepers
Ederson,
as well?
And yeah, it is up to Pep.
God. But Pep could go into this thinking, you know, I'll have Ederson, Rooney, and Willie.
Yeah, I think they'll keep it to two, but I don't think he would mind a death match for the number one shirt there. I don't think that would bother him that much, no, to be honest with you.
No. That's I was mostly saying that in jest. I think City will only end up buying one keeper, and the reason I think it'll be Rooney over Ederson is ultimately because it's going to come down to price. They're going to get a damn good keeper in Rooney for way less money than they'd have to spend on Ederson, who himself may very well end up being a world-class keeper. But you know what? You've already bought Rooney once, so now you can get him back for half the price, and if he's half as good as advertised, and he certainly seems to be, especially when it comes to stopping shots from penalty kicks, it looks like he's got his business down in that arena, then... Look, why not? I mean, then Ederson piques your interest too, though, doesn't he? I mean,
yeah, he does.
I mean, I don't
probably know. Possibly a future Brazil number one.
Yeah.
So yeah, but that's a decision to be made in the off season. So City play at the weekend. Nice Monday night game today. If you do not follow us on Twitter, you should. We are at America Citizens. You can follow us there, ask us questions, interact with us during games, stuff like that. Whole ball of fun. If you don't subscribe to us on iTunes, just search for American Citizens. You can subscribe to our podcast there. We are, as ever, sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. Thank you to them. For Josh, I'm Gray. We will be back at you after the FA Cup game next week. Until then, have a great rest of the week. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you again soon. Enjoy the games, everybody.